SBS Radio.
It was a busy few weeks for ANCA, the Armenian National Committee of Australia, starting from Wright City Council's decision to the high-ranking visit from Artsakh. Our guest is Hayk Kayserian, Executive Director of ANCA. Hayk, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you, Vahe. Thanks for having me.
It started with the Wright Council's decision. How important is the recognition of Artsakh, or in this case, a friendship treaty from a city council, and why the decision was qualified as historic?
Yes, look, that was a historic decision. It was historic, first of all, because it's the first time in Australia a city is forming a partnership with a city in Artsakh. It was one thing for the New South Wales Parliament to recognise the Republic of Artsakh. When it did so, it was only the third state legislature in the world to do that in 2012. Last year, Wright City recognised the Republic of Artsakh, and it was again one of a few handful of local governments to recognise the Republic of Artsakh and the people's right to self-determination. And this year, that same council actually took that decision further and showed that this isn't just about recognising someone's rights. It's actually about collaborating with those people as well. And this is what this decision, the resolution to form sister city or friendship city, in this case, relationship between Wright and Stepanakert, does. It takes recognition to cooperation and collaboration. And I think that that's why it is historic. We already had a meeting on Friday last week between the visiting delegation from Artsakh and the Wright City Mayor, Jerome Laxell, who seconded the motion, which was introduced by Councillor Sarkis Sedelian, the same duo that combined to have Wright recognise Artsakh last year. And the whole council, as we know, voted unanimously on it, which in itself is historic. It's very hard to get multiple parties represented in one room in Australian politics agreeing on anything, let alone something which is as taboo as Artsakh is in Australia. And this is sort of taking it away from that. At the meeting on Friday, a roadmap was drawn between the Wright City representatives and the Artsakh delegation about how that cooperation is going to take place. And we're looking at things like how we can communicate in terms of reforms in Stepanakert, and also delivering important experience in management, in council management to capital city of Artsakh. So we're very excited about where this might lead.
Hayk, is it possible to duplicate Wright City success with other cities in Australia where there is a large number of Armenians?
Look, I do think it is possible. I think it's possible when you have any legislature which has elected representatives who care about what their constituents care about, who stand up for those values. I think it's possible to duplicate what happened in Wright City. That's what we had. I mean, where you can have a very strong community, good representation when it comes to government relations for that community. But at the end of the day, you need to have the councillors, which we had in Wright, in Councillor Adelian especially, and Jerome Laxell, the mayor, to actually say, you know what, I'm ready to cop any issues that come from this. My constituents care about this, and it is in line with Wright citizen values that the rights to self-determination of any peoples are honoured. And if we can have that sort of feeling amongst other councils, other municipalities around the country, I have no doubt that we could possibly duplicate this in other places. There's definitely a model there. This is the 23rd friendship city relationship that has been formed between a city in Artsakh and another city in the world, but the first in Australia. So we have the local model, 22 international models, and now we can hopefully use our community to make representations to their local government officials in other jurisdictions and continue to see the recognition of Artsakh receiving the attention it deserves.
Wright City Council's decision preceded the arrival of the high-ranking delegation from Artsakh. You were with the delegation in many visits. Can you talk about the official visits and meetings and main topics discussed with the Australian dignitaries and politicians in Sydney and Canberra?
Sure, Vahe. This was the highest ranking delegation from the Republic of Artsakh to visit Australia. We had the foreign minister, who's the top diplomat of Artsakh, and a member of parliament. So the foreign minister is Mas Ismailian, and the member of parliament is Tavit Ishvanyan. Ardak Nersesyan was also accompanying them, who's a foreign ministry official from Artsakh. To have three people from the Republic of Artsakh as high ranking as these three individuals visiting Australia was going to give us the best chance to ensure they have a platform to present Artsakh's case to Australian lawmakers. And that was the task that was beholden to us when the Armenian National Committee of Australia actually decided to invite this delegation over. We then had to make it work by ensuring they had the forums in which to represent the cases that the Armenians of Artsakh deserve to be presented in what is a G20 nation, Australia. So to achieve that, we obviously focused our attention on federal parliament because it is the accepted forum for foreign affairs discussion and policy. And we wanted to make sure that they can have meetings with as many lawmakers as possible and as high ranking as possible. Obviously, we tried to meet with the foreign minister and the shadow foreign minister of the country. Those meetings didn't eventuate because of scheduling issues, while the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade continued its sort of one-sided policy approach to this issue by rejecting a meeting with the delegation. Obviously, a meeting with the department isn't the highest level meeting you can get, but I do think the people who are writing Australia's foreign policy should be talking to all parties of a conflict. In the case of Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, the OSCE recognises that there are three parties to the conflict. One is Azerbaijan, two is Armenia, and three is Artsakh. They don't think it's a republic, we do, but Artsakh, they do recognise it's a third party to the conflict. We thought it would have been pertinent for the policy writers of Australia's foreign policy to meet with one of those parties, but they chose not to because of their previous policy positioning and what they described as long-standing. However, that didn't deter us. We actually got far larger meetings and I think left a greater impression on the parliament and generally Australia and in shaping the opinion around this issue. I think we did a tremendous job. We had our delegation meeting with a minister of the government, while the government doesn't recognise the Republic of Artsakh, of course, and its policy is something that we encourage to be changed. We did have a minister from that government actually meet with our delegation. We had several chairs of parliamentary committees, including the chair of the Senate Committee on Foreign Affairs, the House Committee on Economics, the House Committee on Health, the House Committee on Tax and Revenue, the House Committee on Industrial Affairs and Housing. I think we managed to get meetings with all of these people. And in large part, this was thanks to the networks that we've created over the years and the Artsakh advocacy that we've been able to promote in the federal parliament over the last 12 to 18 months in particular. The formation of our Armenian-Australian Parliamentary Union, etc., etc. And basically, there was a very warm welcome delivered to our delegation in Parliament with around 15 MPs and senators in attendance. And that lunch that was held over there was addressed by the Foreign Minister Malian, but also the chair and vice chair of the Australia-Armenian Parliamentary Union, Mr. Trent Zimmerman, and the Honourable Joel Fitzgibbon. We also spoke at that event and encouraged parliamentarians to stand strong with Artsakh, and I think that the ensuing days and what we were able to announce allowed us to feel like that Canberra visit was very, very important. There were individual meetings other than that welcome dinner as well, and probably two that I'll highlight. Two senators. One is the leader of the Australian Greens, which is the third largest party in the parliament, with nine senators and one member of parliament. So Senator Richard Di Natale is the leader of the Australian Greens. He met with the foreign minister and the delegation. as did Senator Rex Patrick, who is a prominent member of the multi-member party again, one of the crossbench parties. In Senator Alliance, we also met Senator Erica Betts from the government. We met people like, you know, Josh Burns from the opposition. And in all, we managed to meet, I think, around 20 members of parliament and senators. We also had meetings in the New South Wales parliament with our friendship group over there. And the delegation also had an opportunity to meet with our premier, Armenian-Australian premier at that, Gladys Berejiklian, which was a very warm meeting between the delegation and Ms. Berejiklian. We also met with the Speaker of the Legislative Assembly and the President of the Legislative Council in New South Wales. And as we talked about before, there were meetings at the Ryde municipality level, and there were honours that were handed out on behalf of the State Minister of the Republic of Artsakh to both Councillor Saka Sidelian and Mayor Jerome Lutzel for their leadership on this issue at that local government level. That, in all, probably outlines the major political meetings that were held during the visit of the delegation, and I think they were an honour. They were a testament to Artsakh, the conduct with which they carried themselves, the professionalism with which they presented the Artsakh argument and represented the people of that heroic republic, I think was very eye-opening for all of us. And I, for one, was happy to be part of that journey with them.
Hike, last Thursday, ANCA announced the launch of Australian Friends of Artsakh. What is expected from them, and how can they help strengthen relations between Australia and Artsakh?
Sure. Look, I do think this is the most significant, arguably the most significant announcement our community has ever made with regards to Artsakh. The New South Wales parliamentary motion, the local government recognitions, friendship cities, these have all been building up to one goal, and that is to make Australia start talking about the Republic of Artsakh as it deserves to be talked about, a self-determined republic of Armenians who are indigenous to that land. And what we have been trying to do with these recognitions is having more and more people from politics especially recognise that. That's why we approached New South Wales in 2012. That's why we approached Ryde last year and again this year. This Australian Friends of Artsakh group takes it to the next level. What we were able to do was convince more than just parliamentarians, but also parliamentarians, to join a collective that is willing to stand up for the rights to self-determination of the Republic of Artsakh. And we went out on this journey and approached current parliamentarians who were familiar with the issue because of the time we have spent with them advocating for Artsakh rights on behalf of our community over recent years, and have started to understand that this issue is actually a priority for our community. And as a result of that that effort, we managed to get over 40 people to sign as inaugural signatories to the Australian Friends of Artsakh group. And this group is not a group that is unrecognisable. It's not an obscure group of individuals. This is a group of the most prominent Australian faces saying that they stand with Artsakh. And those people include two government ministers, they include shadow ministers, they include heads of parliamentary, federal parliamentary committees, they include the Premier of New South Wales, a mayor of a council, and that's just the politicians, not to mention the members of parliament, the councillors, etc., that are on the list. We also have former politicians on the list. We also have academics on the list, you know, people like Professor Peter Stanley, Dr. Sev Ozdowski, very prominent names when it comes to academia here in Australia. They are also signed members of this Friends of Artsakh grouping. On top of all of these names, we have representatives from civic society. We have the chair, the former president of the Australian Medical Association, the former head of the Australian War Memorial. We have individuals that are willing to stand side by side. I mean, people from the law, for example, John Dowd is on the list. I mean, we've got a grouping of people now who are allied with Artsakh, and I think that the announcement, the fact that 40 people are willing to stand and say this is an issue that is important, that needs to be understood, that needs to be talked about, that needs to be discussed, and it needs to be changed when it comes to foreign policy of Australia. This is an important tool in our advocacy as a community going forward. You know, when we go up to parliamentarians and start talking about Artsakh, we can now say, hey, here are 40 people you already know who are actually signed pledges to advocate on this issue. We can call on those individuals to make statements should anything happen at the border, on the negotiating table, and if we need their support in whatever way. But these people are all signed with their own pens, having understood the issues that are on that piece of paper that we gave them. So they've read it, they've researched it, they've signed it, and they've sent it to us. This is our strongest group of allies yet to represent Artsakh in Australia. We are hoping, as a future step, to increase this number. You know, we started with 40. I should also say there's about a quarter of those, roughly, are from are the heads of religious entities, thanks to the assistance that we had from the Armenian Apostolic Church, the diocese there, and also the assistance that we had from an Armenian representative in the Uniting Church of Australia. We were able to attract also heads of certain churches and clergy to be part of this list. Again, prominent individuals, people that are known to Australians that we're going to be able to have on hand should we need to attract more attention, more advocacy pro the Republic of Artsakh and the people's right to self-determination on their indigenous homeland.
Hayk, is there a plan to reciprocate the Artsakh delegation's visit and the delegation from Australia visits Armenia?
That's always on our plan, Vahe. I mean, I have, I would like to have something to announce more specific, and hopefully we will soon. As it stands, we are always working on getting elected representatives from Australia to go to Armenia. And I can just say watch this space, because hopefully we can be on your program soon saying something a lot more solid than what I just said.
I guess the best way to measure the success of your work is the reaction from Azerbaijan's foreign ministry.
Yeah, look, I think that it's definitely reassuring. I mean, I won't argue what you said, but I'll definitely say it's reassuring. You know, there is an element there that that gives you an understanding of how important what we achieved here collectively as a community over the last week is when the foreign minister of Azerbaijan does two things. And I think, you know, it can get lost in a press release sometimes, but I would like to highlight the two things that that the foreign minister of Azerbaijan decided to do based on the successes over the last week here in Australia. Number one, he called Australia's ambassador to Azerbaijan into Baku's foreign ministry for questioning or clarifications, whatever you want to call it. Why is that significant? Because Australia's ambassador to Azerbaijan is actually in Turkey. The Turkish embassy in Ankara handles diplomatic relations from Australia to Azerbaijan. Therefore, they had to bring somebody out from Turkey, Ankara, to Baku to discuss this issue. So I think that's one significant step that they decided to take, which is interesting. The second one is his spokesperson, the foreign minister of Azerbaijan's spokesperson, went on Twitter and also released a statement through the foreign ministry website saying that, reassuring basically Azeris, that the foreign minister, Mamadiarov, has written a letter to the foreign minister of Australia, Maurice Payne. So an official letter had been written to the foreign minister complaining about the fact that some Australian officials were basically out of sync with Australia's foreign policy and basically that they should be brought into line by the foreign minister and the government. Again, a significant step taken by Azerbaijan. Our response to this came out as well, Vahe, and I think this is what's most important for our legislative representatives to hear. this is a foreign dictatorship with a lot of problems, Azerbaijan. They jail journalists. They sometimes cross borders to arrest opposition figures. We're talking about a country that is embroiled in a bribery scandal with the Azeri laundromat. You know, a guy who keeps extending his power through referendums. The same surname has ruled the country since independence. First Father Aliyev and now Son Aliyev. And wife Aliyev is the vice president of the country. This is a country that even announced the results of an election once before anybody had voted. I mean, they've got a lot of issues, but I don't think they are well equipped at the moment to be giving advice on what our officials should and should not be saying in this free democracy that is Australia. And I think the Australian government should outright reject any attempts by a petro-dictatorship or any other foreign country for that matter who say that, hey, your foreign policy is this, you've got to now make sure everybody else in the country says the same thing as your policy says. How would we ever have changed policies over the years by it if that were the case? How would we have changed Australia's initial support or bystanding to issues like apartheid, you know, if we didn't allow anybody to speak their minds if they were elected officials? We elect officials in Australia's democracy to speak their mind, to drive arguments, to represent the various views that exist in this land of over 20 million people. And any attempt by anybody to try to gag them from overseas should be absolutely ripped up and thrown away, regardless if it's the foreign minister of Azerbaijan or even a minister from Armenia. It should never be acceptable. And that was our response. And but definitely it was reassuring to see that Azerbaijan has recognized that in Australia, at least, the sort of veil of lies and threats that they have dealt with over the years when it comes to Artsakh, the warmongering, took a backseat to democracy, nation building, which is the only message that was being sold by the representatives that were here from Artsakh. There was the foreign minister. It was a member of parliament. These are people that represent that Artsakh is trying to beat itself out of this current status of ceasefire and maybe war, maybe not, and bring itself to security, peace and prosperity through the tool of democracy. That was on display here, and I don't think that Baku took too kindly of that, judging by that response.
Hike, you had a meeting in July with Melbourne Armenians. What were the main topics of discussion?
Yeah, it was part of our outreach initiative, Vahe. We try to hold these information evenings, town hall-like meetings with our community, because we understand that when we've got a full-time office, we're going at 100 miles an hour, representing our community, speaking on behalf of our community to elected officials at all levels of parliament in Australia. We also need to make sure we continue to talk to our community about how we're representing them and make sure first that the issues that we're representing are still the issues that are important to them, because if they're not, we'll move on to something else. And secondly, making sure that they know the intricate details other than the headlines that appear on social media around what's going on and how we're being received and how Australia, federally, state, local governments, etc., are seeing to our issues. So it was more of an opportunity to give a more intimate discussion about what our activities are, understand from our community what their feelings are, what their priorities are, and we all walked away that little bit more informed. I definitely walked away from that very encouraged. It was a very very large attendance at that gathering, which I thank the Armenian community of Melbourne for. I think their genuine warmth towards what the Armenian National Committee was doing, especially our Melbourne chapter in representing them, was there for all to see. And I walked away feeling reassured that our priorities are right and we are targeting issues like the Armenian genocide, like Artsakh, like community sustainability and other issues, because that is what our community wants us to focus on. Look forward to doing it again in Melbourne. We'll be doing another one in Sydney at some point as well. We would like this to be a sort of annual roadshow type thing where we're going to all the states that Armenians are at and making sure that we're communicating beyond the virtual communication with them.
Hi, thank you for the interview. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you, Vaya. SBS.com.au.